Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
In the NutriMedical Report, we have Jonathan Gray, our ancient archaeologist, all the way in New Zealand. And, of course, Jonathan is an amazing guy. He's done archaeology all over the world, has friends that have done work as well, finding the Ark of the Covenant, Noah's Ark, the passageway across the Sea of the Gulf of Aqaba into Saudi Arabia for the ancient exodus of the Hebrews leaving Egypt. He's done research that has validated the actual words of the Bible. There, I hear idiots that talk about, for example, the flat Earth. The Bible talks about the fact of the Earth being in orbit in space. I mean, everything that is in the Bible, if it's interpreted correctly, with science now and archaeology, has validated what Jonathan has stated. So right now what I'm doing is I am trying to contact Jonathan and see if I can get him again. Let's see. Jonathan Gray. Okay. There we are. Let's see if I can call him on the regular Skype, and if we can get him that way. If we can't, we'll call him on his phone line. Now, you want to go to his website, beforeus.com, and we are now getting a stream set up, so I'm going to offer Jonathan a way of... It's again showing not online. So the New Zealand issue, something's going wrong with Skype. But I can call his phone line, and that will connect through. As I say, I'm a techie, and I have ways of working around it. So the first one doesn't work. I just talked to him a minute ago, so he is there.
Yes, Jonathan here.
Hi, Jonathan. Yeah, it doesn't connect with Skype again. I think something's going with Skype. It's not picking up your line. But I have no problem at all calling your phone line, which is wonderful. We continue the dialogue about the ancient Bible, and I think people have to understand God stands in what's called the eternal now. God has a number of interesting properties that regular mundane humans don't get. There's no such thing as time for God. There's no such thing as space for God. There's no such thing as dimensions. God is omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, meaning he's everywhere, and he's also not confused by anything. In other words, there's no such thing as he's on the throne and he's nervous. Well, what's next? God knows the end from the beginning. And when he lays out something, he often gives a template to his prophets to tell things in a fore-presentation of something, like the prophecy of the Exodus of the Hebrews. And actually, my ancestor, 2,000 years ago, had a prophecy that one in the family line of my family would be a Mosaic prophet to prophesy mankind, preparing for the great Exodus of mankind to become the bride of God. And that person is me. Now, I want people to understand this. There's other co-prophets like yourself. They need to give the message through to the people, because it's all embedded in the Bible. And in 2 Peter 2:10 says, no scriptures are private interpretation. If you're a locksmith for God, he's going to give you the tumbler codes. And you and a lot of your friends have actually done the archaeology to prove that God gives you guys, locksmiths, the tumbler codes of where the Ark of the Covenant is, where the Noah's Ark is, where the Exodus across the Gulf of Aqaba is, and what a lot of things that are put inserted into the Bible or in so-called Christian church are lies, like Helena sanctifying a mountain in Saudi Arabia in the Sinai Peninsula, or the conversion to the Sabbath, which is the first layer, literally, of the mark of the beast. And we've talked about this repeatedly. So I'd like you to pick up what ancient archaeology or experts, like your friends that went into the Noah's Ark in Turkey, but what issues you'd like to pick up today to connect it, because I believe there's always a foreknowledge or a forexpression of things to show that the Bible is a representation, that the author of the Bible is not a man, not a scribe like a prophet or an apostle, but is a creator God who transcends time, space, and does it to prove that, hey, me, the God of all eternity, that's who he is the author, not us, not anyone who is in the past, present, or even present, is the author, it's the creator God, isn't it?
That's right, absolutely. Well, Bill, I think maybe it'd be a good idea to continue a series on the Mount Sinai for today, because Mount Sinai is given in the scriptures as a sign for the end times.
And why do you think that is? Why is Mount Sinai an end time sign? Because we know a lot of these places are in Saudi Arabia. It's interesting. One of the greatest accumulations of modern wealth is in Saudi Arabia. And the current disaster regarding the social media around Prince Alawi bin Talal, tortured by the SAD, Special Activity Division of the CIA, to throw Alex Jones off of social media. And the plan for them to create a cybernetic world and a Silicon Valley Riyadh, which Prince Alawi tried to do. And remember, the first citizen in the world of any country that was given citizenship as a robot was Sophia, given citizenship in Saudi Arabia, a nation that beheads people before Friday morning prayers if they violate the Quran or the Hadith. But yet, they gave citizenship to a female robot. So people have to understand what's going on here is very bizarre. And Saudi Arabia has a major role to play in the end time, doesn't it? Because it's the peace treaty to satisfy Saudi Arabia and sets up the abomination that desolates, that I believe Donald Trump is beginning to collaborate with the people in the It's a Real Hell state of Israel and the globalist Luciferic Kabbalists, warlocks. They're going to start putting up a temple on the Temple Mount to actually start the sacrifice called the Abomination that Desolates. Abomination meaning abominating against the blood of Jesus with animal sacrifice, and a desolation giving land to their enemies, i.e. Islam. And so the groundwork for this is being laid by none other than the current template for King Herod Agrippa, which is none other than Donald J. Trump, isn't it?
Well, Bill, this is going to take me some time to get into this, because I've got a couple of very interesting stories to tell about the counterfeit and the truth.
Yeah, let's do that, because I think if you have a prophetic word, in other words, unraveling this is going to help people understand where society going, because they're often deceived. I support Trump and the things he does are right, but he needs you and I to be his Samuel counsel, because he's not right with God. He's a high-level royal archmason. He's doing things that are advancing the New World Order and moving America and the world closer and closer to control by Luciferic deviltry, isn't it?
Well, that's true.
Unfortunately, okay. Ugly and true.
Now, of course, what we've got in Sinai is this, that there's a counterfeit as well as a true. And when Ron Wyatt actually said that he had discovered Mount Sinai, not in Egypt, but in Arabia, the skeptics came down in droves. And they said, time will prove the claims to be false. They said, give it enough time, it will prove the claims to be false. And people who put their faith into the things being found will lose their faith in God. Well, now, time has now given its verdict, and I'd like to discuss that today.
Right, let's do that.
All right. Now, after one of my British lecture tours on the discoveries quite a few years ago, a group of skeptics urged an independent investigator, his name was John Bishop, to check out some of the discovery claims in Egypt. One of these was my claim that modern maps were wrong in drawing Mount Sinai in the so-called Sinai Peninsula, the popular one, and that tourists seeking Mount Sinai were not only being taken to the wrong map, but also to the wrong country. The truth was that Mount Sinai was really in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Now, his report, I'd like to just share his report word for word, because it's a sensational report. He said, and it's going to take me a while to do this one. He said, I travelled to the site of the Red Sea crossing at Nuweiba on the Gulf of Aqaba. There I photographed the area, including the pillar supposedly erected by Solomon to mark the crossing site. And having travelled back through the Wadi Wateer, it is easy to see how this could well be the route of the Exodus and Nuweiba, the site of the crossing. However, what then do we make of the Mount Sinai located 120 kilometres southwest of Nuweiba on the same side of the Red Sea? Next stop, the popular Mount Sinai. I had travelled through the desert to find the mountain range and was now standing in line to use the toilets at St. Catherine Monastery at the foot of the popular Mount Sinai. I was not alone. Tourist buses were arriving constantly, bringing Jewish pilgrims from Israel and Christian tourists from all over the world. And standing in the queue with me were a couple from Nigeria. I asked them whether they believed that this was the real Mount Sinai. From the looks I received, I might as well have asked them if we were on planet Earth.
Keep that thought. We'll be right back. Jonathan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutraMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutraMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Johnson Grayback, and by the way, one of the things we're doing is I've got a stream, and we have the capacity to actually put the shows beside mine on my stream. Our stream's going to feed from Genesis, and you can be able to listen to it on all of our sites, NutraMedical, Clay and Iron, and Deagle Network. It'll be archived immediately over on Deagle Network. We also archive, of course, hyperlinks directly on our YouTube and Vimeo. We're going to offer this to a lot of our co-hosts, like Johnson Gray, so you can do a show once a week, or daily if you want. We have lots of time slots available. In fact, I'm going to offer it to my son, who will also be able to do a show, because I think your information is vital. We're syndicating and massively expanding our show to many other radio stations and networks. I got the offer yesterday with Scott Adams to do a live show to broadcast, which we're doing late night rebroadcast, but a live show sent to our stream directly 3 to 6 Eastern through Red State Talk Radio, which is the number one talk radio network on the planet 7 years in a row. So it's going to massively increase our reach to get people the truth about the Bible, to prepare physically for their health, but to prepare their souls for what's coming in our future, which is in the near future, not decades away, but years and months away, is the end times. And you have a lot of the wisdom. I consider you one of the most important prophet apostles of this day, Jonathan. And your knowledge and wisdom is extremely important for the survival of people's souls to eternity, isn't it?
Well, that's what we want to do. It's not for ourselves, it's to help as many as we can.
We're soul physicians. How's that? We're trying to save souls. Please continue.
Right.
Please continue.
Now, this is a report from John Bishop investigating the fake Mount Sinai, which his sponsors asked him to prove that our discovery is wrong, but instead, he ended up finding that there was flaws in the Mount Sinai that Christian tourists and Jewish pilgrims are going to, spending millions of dollars when it's not the right site at all. And then he did mention, just before the break, I started telling the story of a couple from Nigeria. And they'd paid enough money to the tour company to visit the sites, and they didn't want to have any doubts placed in their minds. But John Bishop says, I was disturbed. I'd hired a car and driver to take me across the Sinai Desert, but one New Testament verse kept ringing through my head from Galatians 4:25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia.
Right.
I voiced my thoughts out loud. But if the Bible says that Mount Sinai is in Arabia and we're here in Egypt, well, my voice trailed off, but the implications were obvious. The Nigerian couple also felt that my words implied something, and they brushed past me into the toilet.
Right.
And then I was listening to the guide. He said, this is Moses' burning bush. I stood incredulous in the courtyard of the monastery, not 20 yards from Moses' well. Here, if the monks were to be believed, was the same bush that Moses stood before and heard the voice of God thousands of years ago.
Right.
Well, later I drew a young guide to one side. Do you really believe that this is the bush? I asked. Oh no, came the reply. It's just a bush that the monks brought here, but it raises lots of money for us.
Oh my.
Emboldened by this response, I challenged him on the Sinai mount that we were climbing to view. He shrugged his shoulders. Well, maybe this is the mountain. And then I recounted my doubts to him. I wasn't here at the time, so I don't know, he said.
Oh,
well,
no.
With that subject closed, another anomaly stood out like a sore thumb. The pharaonic tombs and mining works. The Bible says specifically that Moses left Egypt before arriving at Mount Sinai, so how come there are relics from the pharaonic times at this site here where we are now? It was nagging doubts like this that were convincing me that this was not the mountain which Moses met and talked with God.
Right.
However, whole communities are making their living from it.
Right.
It will remain... It's a major
tourism. 1,500 years of tourism too, right?
Absolutely, and the monastery receives thousands of dollars in donations, and Egypt earns a lot of more in tourist dollars and shekels, and the local Bedouins control the touring around the area, and John actually himself, who was an independent investigator, said, look, I've been to Egypt 23 times, and no such security exists as there is on the road to the so-called Mount Sinai. Anyway, he says, was I asking too many questions? As I tried to leave Egypt, I was arrested as I boarded the plane. No one would tell me why, and rumours began to spread amongst the other passengers that I was smuggling drugs or antiquities, or that I was a terrorist.
Right.
The airline prepared to abandon me. My luggage was taken from the plane, and I was interrogated as to my reasons for visiting Egypt.
Really?
Photographs of the Nuweiba crossing were taken from me, as were small samples of coral I got out of the Red Sea. No reasons were given for my detention, and the plane prepared to go without me.
Wow, what year was this Jonathan?
Pardon?
What year was this when this happened to you?
Oh, this was about 18 years ago now, Dr. Bill.
It's only around 2000 is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, that's right.
That's not long ago.
Anyway.
Okay, please continue.
He said, a policeman appeared who seemed to take my side. I was praying for the Lord to intervene. The policeman dismissed all attempts to find something illegal that I could be accused of doing, and finally, literally at the 11th hour, arranged for my release after insisting that the airline company hold my plane to not get off the ground yet. Yet still nobody would tell me why I'd been detained. Even my guardian angel policeman would not say. He says, we'll tell you next time you come to Egypt, but go now, go quickly. And finally, as I was literally at the steps of the aircraft, I asked the airline agent to tell me what he knew. He looked around to make sure no one was listening, and then in a little voice said, they were from the National Security Force. They knew who you were. They asked for you by name. We thought that you must be a terrorist or a big-time criminal. We were going to leave you here. And later on, returning to Egypt, another arrest took place, and the NSF again asked for the name. By the way, Johnson, they refuse to say what they're looking for. Johnson, they show particular interest in books and films.
But was
so
this
it's
for,
all about what was being discovered.
Was this for you personally, Johnson, or a colleague of yours?
This was a man who was an enemy of mine.
Right, what was
he
his name?
He was hired to disprove what I was doing
right.
by some skeptics in England, and instead of that, he turned around and now believes the discoveries.
Right, so what was his name, the guy, this guy that 18 years
John
ago?
John Bishop.
John Bishop. So John Bishop ended up literally out of his persecution, realized that you had the truth.
That's right.
Wow,
yes.
That's amazing. Amazing. Right. Now, do you have this, by the way, in videos or audio tapes or whatever, or whatever, in your...
I can provide a transcript of it
Right, but I know you have amazing videos and ebooks that people need to purchase to support your ministry at beforeus.com, beforeus.com. You need to know these materials, people. This extends the Bible. It validates the Bible. It validates God's Word. It shows and unlocks the locksmith keys to the end times, because these events and these archaeologies are teaching us.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Of course, his website is beforeus.com. Johnson's on every 2 weeks, but I hope that he'll take the offer and he'll actually maybe do a show daily or at least on the weekend, weekly, so people get a lot more information. Go to his website, beforeus.com. Purchase his videos and his ebooks like Will You Survive? These provide very basic principles. And in the latest one we talked about last year, both the three woes of Islam, it's right in the book of Revelation. People need to realize these are the unlock keys that tells you the events are not future, they're now. We are deep into the tribulation and the end times, aren't we? We are in the times of trouble, the birth pangs. We are in the birth pang period right now, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah. Please continue.
Okay. Now, Mount Sinai is not in Egypt. It's in Arabia. We just established that, and
right.
It told the story of a man who was hired by skeptics to prove our discoveries were fakes. But he found that it was all true. Now, Josephus, the Jewish historian, does say that on the morning after the mass drowning of the Egyptian army, Moses gathered together the weapons of the Egyptians, which were brought to the camp of the Hebrews by the current of the sea, and the force of the wind assisting it. So when he had ordered the Hebrews to arm themselves with them, he led them to Mount Sinai in order to offer sacrifice to God. Well, now, the Exodus account in the Bible is very simple. It simply says, "And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians." So, Ron Wyatt, following the biblical guidelines geographically, and there are some good ones, which if we read them carefully, there's only one place where the crossing can be.
Right.
Ron Wyatt then got out a map, and he said, if the Hebrews went through the Red Sea here, and then he followed it on the map with his finger, then Mount Sinai could not be far over here, on the Arabian side,
right.
Not on the Egyptian side.
Right.
Now, there have been many different theories as to the location, mainly because people didn't know where the Hebrews made their crossing. But once the Red Sea crossing was found with the remains of Pharaoh's army on the seabed, and I've been there quite a number of times, that makes it easier to locate Mount Sinai, which they went to when they got over the crossing. And you look at any map of the area, the real Mount Sinai would have to be in what is now Saudi Arabia. And so the scripture bears witness, Mount Sinai in Arabia. Now, the range that contains Mount Sinai actually is called Jebel el-Lawz. And in biblical times, it was called Horeb. And even today, the local Arabs call it Jebel Musa, or the Mountain of Moses. So the local Arabian people, they know what it is. It's massive. It's not just a little mountain. It's not like you drive up a desert and there's a mountain, you climb up on it. It's like a massive, massive mountain range.
Right.
And just working your way up to the top of the mountain takes hours. Well, now, here at this mountain, the plan was activated. This is the important part. The plan was activated to bond Israel together as a nation in a common trust in God.
Right.
And the Hebrews were given the job. They became the recipients of the plan for the coming Saviour of the human race. And they were entrusted with written revelations of God's purpose.
Right.
In a nutshell, it was known that when God created mankind, he entrusted us with the power of choice, with independent thought. We chose to cut ourselves off from him, and death came on us. But in his love, God set up a plan to save as many of our fallen race as possible. And the plan is complete, it's thorough, it's overwhelmingly generous.
Right.
But we have to choose to accept it.
Right, it's like a marriage proposal. And what he's basically doing, the Bible is a marriage proposal to mankind. I say the Bible is a lot of things. It's a set of indictments, a death certificate, it's a history book, but it's also a marriage proposal to mankind to marry God and become the bride of God. That's why he sent his son, which is the incarnation of the Father in the flesh, Yeshua. And then the ultimate tribulation is to be ended with a marriage supper and the marriage of God to mankind. That's what's coming, isn't it?
That's right. And his written word is a love letter to us.
Right. He's dealing with a bride. That's really where his bride. We're actually, collectively, mankind is the bride of the Creator God.
That's right. But we have to choose, and his son was to visit planet Earth, become one of us, stand in our place, and defeat the devil who had beaten our first parents.
Right.
Take the death penalty upon himself on our behalf. But there were rules by which we must live if we were to be trusted in the coming new world.
Right.
And so at Sinai, the Ten Commandments were formally restated to these liberated slaves who'd forgotten them. 10 precepts, brief, comprehensive, you could call them authoritative, and they cover the whole duty of man to God and to his fellow man, and they're all based upon the great fundamental principle of love.
Right.
And in addition, they were given specific laws in family relationships, in diet, in dress, in business, in public health, in civil government, and these guidelines are still beneficial. They were told that these blessings were to be given to all peoples, so they weren't just for Israel alone, but for all nations, and Israel was simply the vehicle. They were raised up to be a spiritual beacon in the world, and that's why they would soon be planted on the land bridge between the three continents that are most inhabited, Africa, Asia, and Europe, right there in the middle. Well, Ron Wyatt went in search of this historic Mount Sinai, and not far from the opposite shore where the Hebrews emerged from the parted sea, they came to this steep, forbidding peak. And Ron concluded from the language of the Bible that they had stayed in a mountain, because the scripture says in this mountain, not on or beside it, but in it. So they were enclosed in a mountain. And if you get an aerial map of this area, you'll find that Jebel el-Lawz, the name of the mountain, has a large valley enclosed on both sides by the rim of an ancient volcano. And there's an area of 5,000 acres in there. enough to put 2 or 3 million people in, no problem at all.
Wow.
And the Bible records that God, clothed in majesty of fire, hovered over the mountain, and as he spoke, like thunder, the 10 eternal commandments, look at the peak. When Ron first went in there, he gasped when he saw the sight. The
right.
top of the mountain was black and burnt.
Yeah, it was the fire
and
of God that burned the rock.
Was God himself.
It was actually the finger of God burnt the rock, the stone tablets with the imprint finger of God, wasn't it?
He did, yes. Now, there were boundary markers, but beyond them, certainly quite large enough to accommodate millions of people with their herds, that had to be the campsite within the arms of the mountain.
Right.
And also still there are the remains of some stone hut circles that held the tents together around the sides of the tent. And the Bible says regarding the manna, that the heavenly bread that the Hebrews fed on, that they ground it in mills. And if this was the site of the Hebrew camp, one might expect remains of artifacts like these to be found.
Right.
And a portion of a grinding stone was found straight away.
Wow.
And fortunately, the remoteness and the desert conditions had preserved these remains just where they were left 3,500 years ago, Dr. Bill.
Wow.
Well, this certainly was a great find. And again, according to the Bible, Moses was commanded to erect a barrier so that the people would not approach the mountain.
Now, I got a quick question before, and I know you're really rolling on this. Why do you think God is revealing through you and others now, experts like Bishop, that the anomalies that were put by the early church in Helena and Constantine 1,500 years ago are being revealed or untrue, and it comes back to Saudi Arabia? And we have all these things in Saudi Arabia, the killing of Mr. Khashoggi, the prince saying he's going to get rid of Wahhabism, probably the active special activities of the CIA killing this guy Khashoggi and then dissolving his body parts after they cut him up. All of this is very important. See, Saudi Arabia is a major player on this false peace agreement between Israel and surrounding Muslim Arab states, Sunni, so concerned of being attacked by Russia and Iran. And it's my feeling that there's somehow a tie between these, but I'll let you continue.
Okay.
I think there's something going on.
The implications are global, actually, even bigger than what you said is good.
In other words, there's the start of something very big. And it's the return to the issue of Saudi Arabia, where a lot of these things happened, I think has a prophetic entitlement to it as well.
Well, it is prophetic, because the book of Hebrews says that at that time, when God came down on Mount Sinai, he shook the earth.
Right.
But the time is coming when he's going to shake not only the earth, but the heavens. And that's the return of Jesus,
right,
when the heavens depart of the scroll. So Mount Sinai is a precursor of the second coming of our Lord.
Right.
And not only that, but at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were spoken before a whole nation of people to be given to the whole world that had lost sight of them. But not only that, God wrote them with his own finger. And when the mark of the beast is enforced, we believe that these commandments from Mount Sinai in Arabia are going to come out and are going to send shockwaves around the world. Now, that's another subject.
Well, the globalism and Satanism.
The very stones that were written in Mount Sinai are now waiting to be brought out at the time when the mark of the beast is enforced, which is against God's law.
Right, because the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments deal with dealing with God, and the last six deal with man. And what the globalists and the Satanists and these false religionists have done in every religion, including Christianity and Judaism, they violated these Ten Commandments, which means they violated God's law in relationship to him and to other humans and mankind. And ultimately, there's a price to pay, and that's going to come soon, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. And I heard a pastor say just a few weeks ago that the Ten Commandments have been replaced with the law of love. Well, look, now that's absolute nonsense, because when you read the book of Exodus, you'll find that at the same time the Ten Commandments were recited, love to God and love to man was given the next few verses. In other words, the Ten Commandments is summed up by our love to God and our fellow man.
Right.
If you replace the Ten Commandments, you'll show that love by observing them.
Well, I think Jesus made a comment like that, which is, love God with your heart, soul, and mind, love your fellow man and woman as yourself. But among these
That's
two
right.
will hang the Ten Commandments, he said. This is the words of Jesus, right?
the Ten Commandments hang on those two principles
right.
of love, to, as you say.
Right.
Yes.
But they're certainly not replaced by it. So what I see with leftists, globalists, Satanists, false religionists, Luciferians of every religion or political system, they've replaced the Ten Commandments with a law of volitional relatedness that has nothing to do with honoring God, number one, or honoring mankind as the coming bride of the Creator.
That's right.
They want to turn human beings into cyborgs and animals and eventually genetically engineered part animal humans and create us in a matrix where they have total control of even our thoughts. This is a hell they're trying to create on Earth, a cybernetic hell, a genetic hell where even they're going to create a class structure of cybernetic and genetic enhancement of the super class like Attica. That's where we're going, and people don't understand it's not coming in the future. It's here already, isn't it?
It's here already, and as you know, Dr. Bill, this makes it more urgent still that we're very close to
right.
the intervention of our God.
Yeah,
there's evidence that this is what they were doing when God brought the flood. And he says,
they were doing
genetic corruption was taking place, and that was a big reason why the worldwide flood was brought upon the earth.
Right, they were doing hybrids between the Nephilim and humans. That's where the giants, the men of renown, et cetera, they talk about. They're genetic hybrids between these off-world beings and mankind.
Our God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he was furious about what man was doing
right.
with genetics back there,
right.
he's no less the same today, and he's about to intervene soon.
Exactly. In fact, the CRISPR-Cas9 protocol, which is coming out in the public, I've known about genetic engineering projects going back as much as 40 years ago. They tried to recruit me to DARPA to work with their project with female super soldiers. So this is not open to anybody's damned opinion. This is just an ugly fact of a world headed toward disaster, isn't it?
Yes, and history is our guide to the future.
Right.
In other words, as Solomon says, there's nothing new under the sun. What has been will be.
Right. So please continue. We've got a few more minutes in this segment, and then we have another segment after.
Okay, very good. Now, while we're talking about some of these things that have been found, according to the Bible, Moses was commanded to erect a barrier so that the people would not approach the mountain. And as you climb the mountain, you look down upon the valley that is in the two arms of the mountain, that with the 5,000 acre valley where they camped. Look straight down the mountain and you'll see the fence running in an arc around the front of the mountain. And the Bible speaks of Moses having erected this. And over the thousands of years, this has been preserved in the desert. No one has destroyed it. Local Bedouins acknowledge it as the Mountain of Moses. But the fence is still running around the front of the mountain as the Bible described it.
Wow.
Now, another thing. Newly discovered petroglyphs at the foot of the mountain depict people shooting with arrows and archers. Now, that echoes a warning by Moses recorded in the book of Exodus that anyone who set foot on the mountain would be shot with arrows. So that you'll find all these interesting things that are now being discovered. Now, outside the camp, under the mount, was the area of a foundation. And this foundation still exists. Could this be the site where Moses removed the worship tent after Aaron's golden calf event? Because adjacent to it is an altar, and the scripture mentions the altar under the hill. And also mentions 24 pillars. 12 pillars. According to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's in Exodus 24. Carefully searching, Ron came upon the remains of these pillars. 12 standing towers of stone, and each one 18 feet in diameter. That's pretty thick. So surprise upon surprise when you go to this site. Every minor detail of the scripture account comes alive. The Bible was literally true, so we asked the skeptics, what are you going to do now? Well, that's not all. There's also an animal corral, a place for the bringing of animals ready for sacrifice. That's still standing there. at the foot of the mountain. And then up the mountain, on the front, is a cave. Now, the Bible says that Elijah, when he went to hide from Queen Jezebel, who was out to kill him, he went to a cave at Mount Sinai. Well, there is one prominent cave, only one, right there on the face of the mountain. And to get to the cave, because it gets pretty hot over there in the desert, as the sun rises higher, the heat's intense, you'd have to leave bright and early in the morning. And it's a rugged, heavy-duty mountain, no trail. And you could go on and on. Now, I'll mention the golden calf. When the Hebrews came to Mount Sinai, and they had stood trembling before the mount, listening to the words of the Lord, Moses then went up on the mount, and it was time for Israel, a time of waiting and suspense.
Right.
And the people waited eagerly for him to return.
I think it was Aaron, his brother, who was actually managing the people, and they built this Apis bull, a gold calf. Now, why did they do that?
Now, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And now, because the people were actually accustomed in Egypt to material representations of deity, it had been hard for them to trust in an invisible God that Moses told them about, and they'd come to rely on Moses to sustain their faith. Now Moses was taken from them, and week after week passed, and still he did not return. And it seemed to many in the camp that their leader had deserted them, or that he had been consumed by the devouring fire. And so the mass of people were determined to wait no longer for Moses. And among the objects regarded by the Egyptians as symbols of deity was the ox, or the calf, or the bull. And at the suggestion of some who'd been practicing idolatry in Egypt before they were delivered, a calf was now made and worshipped, and they decided that would represent God. And they must have an image in place of the of God, because there was no more guidance. Moses had gone up the cloud, it was not moving anymore. So Moses' deputy, Aaron, gave in to their demands. I guess that was a weakness. He saw the satisfaction with which the golden god was received, and he built an altar for it.
Well, this is another one of the first three commandments.
Thou shalt not degenerate it into an orgy.
Thou shalt not put graven images before me, it says in the first commandments, in the first four commandments. So this is obviously a direct violation of God putting a graven image of a demigod as a replacement for the creator god of eternity, that is to say, the god that they cannot see unless they go to eternity. And eternity,
absolutely,
by the way, is not displaced, a million miles away. Eternity is always now. So, in other words, you don't go to heaven. You enter eternity when you start serving and treating and loving God. Eternity starts today. It doesn't start with the moment of your death.
Yes, you do. Okay. One wired the first to get in there went searching. And in the valley at the base of the mountain, he found an ancient altar with 12 petroglyphs of the Egyptian bull god.
Wow.
Inscribed around the sides. And such petroglyphs are found nowhere else in Arabia. They're distinctly Egyptian style, and found on the tombs of Egypt also.
Wow.
And this had to be the altar where Aaron made the golden calf. Now, it's interesting that on his return, Moses angrily melted down the golden calf and ground it to powder and threw it into the stream. And not only does this altar exist with petroglyphs of the Egyptian calf god, but there's also very strong readings of the mineral gold registered at this site.
Wow.
And it's a massive altar, and a massive pile of rocks, just as you'd expect to find if this was the true Mount Sinai. And also, Dr. Bill, still visible here was the bed of a large stream. It's now dried up, but in this desert, before, in the time of Moses, it was flowing from the mountain to water the camp, and Moses threw the ground up gold in it and made them drink it.
Wow.
And traces of all that still exist today. Absolutely incredible.
Well, in a sense, the golden calf is worshipping wealth, and it's interesting, the largest accumulation of dynastic and generational wealth is Saudi Arabia. They don't have trillions, they have quadrillions of dollars stored up in their banks.
Yes.
Not just in Saudi Arabia, but Whitehall, England, and around the world. And that's why the dynastic wealth of Saudi Arabia is literally ruling the world right now, isn't it?
Yes. Now, very significant also is this latest discovery made, because a doctor, Kim, of Asia, became a personal doctor to a Saudi Arabian prince.
Right.
And he was given permission to go over anywhere in Saudi Arabia, including this area, exploring. And he'd heard about the discoveries, and so he wanted to go up here, and he did. And the interesting thing is that among the various petroglyphs was an image of an ancient menorah. That's the seven-branch lampstand. Because we're told that at the time of Mount Sinai, they built this tabernacle, and one of the items for the tabernacle was the seven-branch lampstand, the menorah. And among the petroglyphs here is an image of this very thing.
Wow.
And this offers evidence that a Hebrew community did camp here at that time.
Wow.
And not only that, but inscriptions nearby the menorah have been translated, and they do speak of a melted calf.
Wow.
So this is beyond all doubt the location.
Jonathan, thank you for a wonderful show today.
Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, God told Moses to make a golden ark, table, and a lampstand.
I think it has prophetic end time, and I think God's going to give us the unveiling of the unlocking of why this is so important. The fact that you know this now, there's a very, very major prophetic warning given here, isn't it?
Well, the most
wealthy country on earth.
Maybe in our next broadcast, Dr. Bill, we can continue on.
Think of the wealth of the Saudi princes as the golden calf. How's that?
Yes. Well, there's a lesson for all of us in this.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.